Good afternoon, everyone. Earlier today, Graham mentioned, or at the start of this session, Graham mentioned that retirement was one of three macro themes that he'd identified for this presentation. And I'd have to agree wholeheartedly with that idea. I think that we're actually about to face what I would call a revolution in retirement. And as evidence for that, we currently have got around about 5% of superannuation assets in the retirement phase. That number is set to swell to around 30% over the course of the next decade. That's a massive shift of money. That's a shift of money that includes the growth of superannuation at the time as well. So what has possibly been, per some of the survey results, a side part of your business even, the management of the decumulation of assets, is rapidly going to become the core of your business. And along with that becoming the core of your business, is going to become a much, much harder problem to solve than it ever has been before. The rules around retirement are changing. We've picked some of that up in Beth's analysis around the aspirations of retirees. We also hear it from David in terms of the fact that people are just living longer. And I think one of the themes I'd like to draw out today as well is that in addition to those factors, more than ever before, Australian retirees are actually bearing on their own back the full brunt of the vast array of fairly complex interrelated risks that go into making a successful retirement income plan. So today's presentation, I've termed Running Naked in Retirement. And the reason for that is, as I say, that I think the Australian retirement incomes sector has left our retirees exposed, and the set of tools that are available to you as planners at the moment are potentially not sufficient to solve that problem in a satisfactory way. What I'd like to do today is give you a bit of a genesis, which is probably familiar to you, around how we've got to this point, then talk about and propose a potential method for looking at retirement financial planning in somewhat the same way as institutions have looked at planning their asset liability matching, but simplifying it down so that it'll be a way that you can actually discuss with your clients. And then give a little bit of an insight into some of the new innovations in products that are likely to come down the path. This is only a 15-minute presentation, so I'm sure it'll raise more questions than it solves. As I guess have alluded to, over the course of the last 15 and 20 years, there's been a massive change in the Australian retirement income market. From a situation where retirees in the 50s, 60s, 70s could depend on an institutional retirement plan, this has shifted to a situation where we've got a new paradigm, the account-based pension, and especially with the new simple super changes, this has become quite an open, flexible platform. And that's a great thing. It gives you as planners a hell of a lot of flexibility to engineer a plan that makes sense for your clients. And so with that shift, I think there's actually been a huge sea change in, for instance, the types of products that retirees have bought. They've got flexible access to their capital, they've got market-linked and tax-advantaged returns, and they've got transparency and control over where they're going. All of those are good things. I think one of the things, though, that has not been brought out as much is the fact that the quid pro quo for all of this is that they are literally on their own. When they spend through those retirement assets, that will be a situation which is something that we really haven't seen yet. And I think some of the numbers that we see from the market research we do concern us that in actual fact a lot of your clients may actually be in that boat, despite the fact that some of Beth's findings maybe suggest that we think we're in a better place than we are. So if we're in this place, where do we need to go? We feel that the job for the financial planner is actually going to become is going to change in nature. So historically, the financial planner has been about generating point-to-point returns. During accumulation phase, there's been a strong emphasis on asset allocations and separating beta alpha, all of those sorts of things. But increasingly, for the retirement phase, what's more important is actually understanding a very, very long-term bundle of risks, of customer needs, if you like, of liabilities. To give you a sense on what that might look like in a much simplified framework, if we were to bucket the early income needs, say the needs from 65 to 80, and the reason we do this is because from 65 to 80, for most of your clients, there's actually a very strong chance that for a very large portion of that time, they will actually be drawing income. And so there's very little sort of risk or contingency associated with the liability associated with early income needs. If we go beyond 80, however, the picture changes significantly. So despite the fact that we are living longer, the fact remains that that there's an enormous dispersion in the length of time that each of us individually live. And so if we go and have a look at the bucket of liabilities associated with late life income, it's a hell of a lot more variable, and we'll show you that as we go on a little bit further. Of course, overlaid over all of that is a series of event risks. So these are the things as simple as needing to repaint the house or buy the new car early on in retirement, but also increasingly later on in retirement, healthcare costs and aged care bonds and these sorts of things. And also in this bucket is probably where we would put bequest risks. It's a simplified framework, but it's helped us break apart a different way of looking at the retirement planning problem. If we go and have a look at how we actually match up our assets against this, I think that traditionally what has been the match has been that superannuation and old age pension have been there to match up against the income needs, and home equity and Medicare are there to protect against some of the longer term or the capital requirements costs. And if you have a look at the older generation of retirees, they've actually had a pretty solid and pretty healthy strategy for matching off against these liabilities, and that strategy has been to live poor and to die rich. What they've done is that they have decided to draw quite frugal levels of asset of income early on in retirement. So you see in the papers that in actual fact allocated pension balances are going up. And at the same time, I guess they've had the good sense to kick the bucket early enough that some of these later life things have not been as much of an issue for them. The new generation of retiree, I think, is going to face a couple of additional risks and very important ones as well. Baby boomer retirees have got a different set of aspirations. They're not happy to, they're not satisfied to go into retirement and to descale the level of aspirations. There's a need to go and to enjoy retirement and to make the most of the early retirement life. And so you see there's a significantly higher level of asset allocation or of assets allocated to early income retirement needs. Now, that's actually has an enormous impact. What that means is that for a lot of these retirees, they're essentially planning for a life which is exactly average length. So for a lot of what we see at the moment is retirement plans aiming to draw down to zero assets at age 85. The problem with that is that 50% of your clients who are with you today, individuals, are going to make it to age 85. If you've got a 60-year-old couple, male and female, then you can expect with a 70% probability that at least one of them will reach age 90. So very clearly to us anyway, these sorts of strategies which are targeting just a life expectancy approach are insufficient. The issue that we get fed back to us though is, well, that's fine, but that's a hell of a long way away. There are very few retirees prepared to save money for the chance that they make it to age 100 in return for giving up the early retirement lifestyle. And so this is where we see there's a fundamental asset liability mismatch, in the sense that we're using an account-based product to provide for this highly contingent, quite low likelihood, but possible late life income risk. To give you a sense on how important this is, these blue lines here come in and give you a sense on how much the exposure to an individual uncertainty in life length can lead to. So if we look at a long life individual, which is sort of someone who's out on the 90 sort of percent decile, what you find is that there is a very significant increase, approximately equal to the discretionary income increase from the retirees, for the baby boomers, that needs to be spent on or needs to be prepared or kept aside for late life income needs. Now, a lot of people say, fine, we'll just, you know, get to that point, reverse mortgage the house, pull the capital out at that point in time and deal with the issue then. But I think this is one of the key issues that is possibly not being thought through at the level that we're concerned about. The fact that these capital requirement risks will also, in parallel with the increased income needs, increase most significantly at that period of time after age 85. The level of healthcare expenditures, the costs of aged care in the home, the costs of retirement village bonds, etc. Any retiree in Australia who doesn't have that capital aside is not going to be left to fend for themselves on the street. I don't think it's going to happen in Australia. However, what they will face is they'll face significantly lower choice. They'll face a significantly less attractive outcome, and they'll lose that financial independence that I think really does define the core goal of what many of your customers would want you to help them find. So there's the core problem. When you add up these assets in the superannuation area, to make up for all of these needs, to get everything, it adds up to more than the assets you've got. So to give you just a quick sort of snapshot of some of the innovations that are coming down the path, we've picked up on a particular new product. It's a product that's been offered over in the States. It's a product that we believe will enter into the market here in Australia, and it's looking specifically at longevity risk. And if you think about that pendulum, what it's trying to do is to leave as much of the flexibility and the control and the attractiveness of the allocated pension as is possible, while swinging back that pendulum just a little bit and buying back a little bit of the core risk that the customers face. To give you an illustration of how it works, this dotted line here shows a case study for a retiree with $450,000 at retirement. The retiree is 65, and the goal of the plan is to draw income until age 100. From the $450,000, they're able to draw, including Social Security, around about $26,000 a year in real terms. Now, that's a pretty poor trade-off. That's $450,000 is obviously quite a significant sum of superannuation savings. $26,000 is quite a frugal income. This is the sort of approach that a lot of the older style retirees, more conservatively, may have chosen. What we're hearing from a lot of retirees and from planners in our focus groups is that the new generation of baby boomers saying, well, I don't want to deal with that risk at the back end, or at least I don't want to deal with it at the expense of my income early. And so they're bringing forward more of their income during those years where they feel they'll need it most, from 65 to 80. And net, what they're able to do through that is to generate a 35 to 40% increase in the income that they can draw early on in retirement. The price they pay for it is that they are going to outlive those savings under sort of baseline conditions at around about age 87. As I said, there's a 50% chance that they make it to that age, and there's about an 8-year life expectancy from that age if they make it. So it's a high probability and a high risk of failure outcome. What the longevity insurance product option tries to do is to come back and say, by investing into a pooled structure, which actually allows the retirees who live for longer to be funded essentially from the pool by the retirees who don't live for as long, a little bit like the old annuity concepts, but built in with investment market risk. A small portion, say 15% of those assets, can be allocated and can actually take care of the income from age 80 onwards. And the income needs are taken care of even if the retiree is one of the lucky longevity lottery winners who goes all the way through to 105, 110. Because they are putting some of their bequest estate at risk through a product like this, it's an efficient way to fund that back-end retirement. Net, what it means is that the remaining 85% of their assets, still in the allocated pension, can be used to draw down over now a much better understood time period. It's a time period from 65 to 80. the planner and the customer can sit down and determine an income strategy targeted specifically at drawing down those assets over that period of time. Net-net, when you combine the two pieces of the strategy together, what you're able to achieve is the higher income early in retirement to meet the discretionary needs, and also provide this sort of comfort of a benefit stream that's going to be there as long as the retiree is going to be there, that provides them comfort at the later part of retirement. Now, obviously, on a chart like that, that looks like a sort of have your cake and eat it strategy in an income area. Of course, the way that these funds are funded is via people passing away, those that don't make it through a long life, lose the longevity lottery, co-funding the retirees who live for longer. Thank you.